Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 6 at 20,981. S&P 500 up 1 at 2,388. NASDAQ Composite up 23 at 6,048. It is another record high close for the NASDAQ. Russell 2000, small and mid-caps, down 2 at 1,417. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 2 basis points at 2.29%. Oil down $1 at $48.61 per barrel. Gold down $5.50 at $12.64.50 an ounce. Today brought a deluge of earnings. Google parent Alphabet posted a 29% rise in quarterly profit, driven by a surge in advertising on mobile phones and its popular YouTube video service. Alphabet's net income rose to $5.4 billion. The company's consolidated revenue rose 22% to $24.75 billion. Google's ad revenue, that accounts for the lion's share of its business, up 18% at $21.4 billion in the first quarter. Revenue from its Google Other unit, that includes the Pixel smartphone, Play Store, cloud business, rose 49% to $3.1 billion. Alphabet sales from its Moonshots projects, things like Fiber and Nest, also grew to $244 million in the quarter, up from $165 million a year ago. However, Google's loss for these ambitious projects ticked up slightly to $855 million. In after-hours trade, Google was up about 5%. Also, after the closing bell, Amazon reported revenue of $35.7 billion compared to Wall Street estimates of $35.3 billion. That was a nice beat. This compares to $29.1 billion a year ago. Earnings per share, $1.48 versus estimates of $1.13. A big beat there. Analysts were also closely watching the performance of Amazon's cloud computing unit, Amazon Web Services. AWS reported $3.66 billion in sales, a 43% growth rate, which is not quite as strong as the growth seen in the past three quarters, but still a big beat. Amazon up almost 5% in after-hours trade. Microsoft reported net income rose to $4.8 billion, or 61 cents per share, from $3.7 billion, or 47 cents per share, a year earlier. That was an earnings miss. Revenue climbed 6% to $23.5 billion, also missing estimates. Microsoft said LinkedIn, which it bought for about $26 billion, contributed $975 million in revenue in the quarter. Revenue from Microsoft's personal computing unit, its largest by revenue, fell 7.4%. Demand for its cloud computing services failed to offset weak growth in its personal computing division, Microsoft down about 2% in after-hours trade. Intel reported lower-than-expected revenue for the first quarter. Intel still gets most of its revenue from selling PC chips, a business that returned to growth in 2016 due to stabilizing demand in the second half of the year. Revenue from Intel's higher-margin data center business rose 6% to $4.2 billion in the quarter, missing analyst expectations. Revenue from client computing rose 6% to $8 billion. Intel's net income rose to $2.9 billion, or 61 cents per share, from $2.05 billion, or 42 cents a share a year earlier. That was a miss of 4 cents per share, and Intel dropped 3.5% in after hours. Starbucks reported fiscal second quarter profit of $652 million, or 45 cents per share, in line with estimates. Revenue $5.29 billion, a slight miss. Comparable store sales rose 3% below analyst estimates. United Parcel Service reported a higher-than-expected quarterly net profit. Revenue grew across its domestic and international package delivery segments as well as freight and supply chain operations. Often seen as a bellwether of U.S. economic activity, UPS said revenue increased to $15.3 billion in the first quarter from $14.4 billion in the year-ago period. Revenue beat estimates. Net income rose 2.4%, also beating estimates. During the quarter, UPS invested to expand its new Saturday deliveries with $35 million in increased cost. Ford Motors' first quarter profit fell 35% from a year earlier to $1.6 billion, down from $2.5 billion in the same quarter a year ago, when strong demand for the newly redesigned F-150 pickup truck helped Ford post its best quarterly operating profit in history. Earnings per share 39 cents in the latest quarter, beating estimates of 36 cents. Revenue for the first quarter up 4% at $39.1 billion. Ford said it plans to cut $3 billion in costs this year and expects profit to rebound in 2018, driven by continued strength in the pickup truck market. American Airlines has a healthy track record with respect to earnings. The company's delivered positive earnings surprises in three of the last four quarters. Average beat, 20%. The first quarter, down 60% from the year-ago quarter, but it was another beat. Adjusted earnings per share came in at 61 cents, beating estimates of 57 cents. American shares dropped about 5% today. American Airlines announced it was increasing pilot and flight attendant salaries an average of 6.5%, or by a total of around $930 million through 2019. A J.P. Morgan analyst described it as a wealth transfer to labor groups. American CEO Doug Parker described the higher wages as a correction to years of incredibly difficult times for airline employees. American employees had been underpaid compared to other airline employees. Parker called the pay hikes an investment in better service. Southwest Airlines dropped about 2% after the air carrier reported first quarter profit and revenue missed expectations. CEO Gary Kelly announced that Southwest will no longer overbook its flights, ending a practice that sometimes leaves paying customers without a seat. It's impossible for an airline to guarantee it will never have to bump a passenger's. The carriers still have to transport other pilots and crew members to work, and an air marshal could also need a seat, but ending overbooking does make it less likely. Comcast beat expectations ahead of the bell, jumped about 3%, while AbbVie performed similarly. Those companies were joined by railroad company Union Pacific, which also gained 3% in early trade, and another pharmaceutical giant, Bristol-Myers Squibb, up about 3.5%. Other post-earnings gainers included KKR, up 5%, Domino's Pizza, up 2.5%. European markets closed slightly lower today. The European Central Bank kept interest rates unchanged. ECB President Mario Draghi surprised some investors by explicitly recognizing the bloc's economic recovery. The euro initially reached the day's peak of $1.93 as Draghi struck an optimistic tone when answering questions from reporters. The ECB maintained a deposit rate of negative 0.4% for banks, a base interest rate of zero, and a quantitative easing program, or a QE program, of up to 60 billion euro per month. President Trump says he'll give the renegotiation of the North American Free Trade Agreement a good, strong shot, but reiterated he would terminate U.S. participation in NAFTA if he doesn't get what he called a fair deal. He said he decided to have talks since pulling out would be a shock to the system. House Speaker Paul Ryan says he is confident Congress will pass a short-term extension of current government funding that would keep operations going past Friday. Ryan did not give a time for a vote. A gauge of pending home sales declined in March as inventory continued to tighten. The National Association of Realtors Index fell 0.8% to a reading of 111.4. The index forecasts future sales by tracking real estate transactions in which a contract has been signed but the deal hasn't closed yet. Thanks to a strong first quarter, the Realtors forecast sales in 2017 to rise 3.5% compared to 2016, but supply is not keeping up with the demand. It's about 3.8 months of supply in March. Properties stayed on the market an average of only 34 days. A balanced market usually has about 6 months of supply. West Virginia is coal country. Chris Beam is president of Appalachian Power, the state's largest utility. He is not a coal guy. Beam told the West Virginia Gazette-Mail he had a recent conversation with the governor of West Virginia who asked him to burn more coal. Beam responded, "That's not going to happen." And the reason is customers don't want it. Beam says the debate over climate change and the role of coal in it is essentially over. Appalachian Power's parent company, AES, believes the regulation of carbon dioxide is inevitable. In the coming decades, renewable energy and natural gas are poised to dominate the fuel mix. Appalachian Power's residential and industrial customers are now asking about switching to 100% renewables in order to get out in front of the growing demand. The utility, which now serves more than 1 million customers across the U.S. Mid-Atlantic region, has begun preparing power plans that would allow customers to stop using fossil fuels. Appalachian Power estimates it will reduce its coal capacity from 60% of its energy mix to about 50% by 2020. At the same time, wind and solar will rise from about 4% of capacity to 20% by 2031. And yes, West Virginia trails most of the rest of the country in its switch to renewables. And we finish with a special note for the philatelist among us. The Postal Service will debut a new shape-shifting forever stamp in June, ahead of a rare solar eclipse set for August 21st. The new issue will transform from an image of a total solar eclipse into an image of the moon when you press it with your finger. The back will feature a U.S. map tracking where the eclipse will appear across the country. First stamp to make use of thermochromic ink, which is sensitive to body heat. The stamp's photo of the eclipse was taken in Libya in 2006 by an Arizona-based astrophysicist, Fred Espenak, also known as Mr. Eclipse of Portal, Arizona. Dow up 6 at 20,981, S&P 500 up 1 at 2,388, NASDAQ Composite up 23 at 6,048. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog is eatthebankers.com.